support.
Yeah.
For the other units. And the other units would, the structure was still there to come to me to say, hey, you know, we need this, and what we do is go back to Hoyt or whoever for that province and say, so-and-so came to me, and, you know, no offense or anything, you know, it's just, and they were more than happy, because they didn't want to be involved in it.
Okay, I got you.
That wasn't a program that attracted...
In the same sense that, so each embassy house, each CIA compound in each province was then abandoned after the ceasefire, every province gave up its individual CIA compound and moved into the State Department consular office?
No, the provinces stayed separate.
Okay.
I had an office down in Hoi An.
Okay.
The regional
people moved
into the consulate.
Because there was no consulates in the province.
No, that was a high-profile operation.
Right.
In a regional thing, Christ, I don't know how many officers there were there, and there was secretaries, and there was communications equipment. Of course, under the normal course of operations at that time, the agency provided the communications people for all foreign diplomatic.
Was Seal something of a mentor for you? Or, I mean, obviously you had a relation with him in Washington before you got to Vietnam, and then in Vietnam?
Yeah, I think he was, in a way. Al was a... he helped me. He was not a rabbi, I guess. I guess he was. I mean, I don't think he...
Did your tours coincide?
No, he left before I... Before
did
I,
he leave before the ceasefire?
Yes.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure. And somebody stepped in and replaced him after the ceasefire. Yeah. Can you tell me who that was?
Named Tom Flores.
Okay. Just like the L.A.
F-L-O-R-E-S.
You know, there's a Tom Flores who's the coach of the L.A. Raiders.
Oh.
Okay.
That was sort of a bitch.
Well, that was going to be my question. Often personal relationships are as important
as
organizational changes. And if Seal left and you had had a good relationship with him, what was your relationship like with Flores? And did that, to some extent, affect the way
your
involvement was with the anti-infrastructure operations?
Yeah, Flores was not a good officer, in my opinion. He was somebody who had risen to the top. He was a very senior officer. But he was... he was not a good officer, in my view. I'm sure there are people who disagree. Tom Polgar would probably disagree.
Was he a Polgar appointment?
All came from WH.
Okay.
Polgar brought in a lot of this guy from WH.
Okay. What was the substantive difference between his relationship and with you and Seal? His top management of the organization.
I think Polgar, or not Polgar, I think Flores, it was his last tour of duty.
Okay.
He was an elderly fella.
Okay.
And he didn't care. His objective was to live well.
Okay.
And don't rock the boat.
Okay.
And take advantage of the amenities that you could,
that were readily available
if you wish to take advantage of.
Okay.
And there were officers in the agency like that. I'm sure you've heard about it.
I've met them and talked with them, and people who are completely unapologetic that say they didn't care. They laughed about it.
They worked the system. And
they thought it was funny when people would go for a year and take it seriously.
Exactly.
And then, they think they were a fool for doing that, and just laugh it off and just say, hey, I've been in 12 countries.
It's just another one. That's right. And what I'm here for is to get the hell out of here so I can go to someplace that's nice.
Okay.
That was my impression.
What about anti-infrastructure operations after the ceasefire?
Well, obviously it came under the aegis of the special branch.
Okay.
And it worked well in Quang Nam province because when Patry was there, God, I wish I could remember the special brand. I should go get my books. If I got my books and the photographs, I could see their faces and remember their names.
You want to do that? It certainly would be to my advantage.
Well, if you want, you can follow me up to my house. I've got a library there. It's full of stuff. We can sit and talk there and probably more comfortable than we can here.
Well, all right. But what we'll do...
2 minutes away.
Yeah, let's just finish this up and then go. Special Branch now is controlling...
Special Branch has got the crew.
Okay.
Their task... See, it was...
The crew must have hated that because they hated the Special Branch.
Oh, they did. But not in Kuala-Lumpur province. And that was because of the... I feel... And he's probably a commie, too. But I felt we had a good Special Branch police chief.
I can find out all this from Fu, because Fu will tell you quite honestly who was VC and who wasn't.
I'd love to talk to him.
You know?
This guy was... when Patrick was there... He recognized, and the Special Branch Police Chief recognized in Kuala-Lumpur Province that his forces did not have the capability to go into a village at night and attack the VC infrastructure.
Right.
That they were city cops, if you will.
Right. They're walking a beat at most.
Yeah. They didn't have the capability to go into the villages and run paramilitary operations dressed up in little green uniforms.
Okay.
Right? Before this thing ever happened, we undertook to train the unit of the Special Branch in Kuala-Lumpur Province to do that. We created our own training program. I'll show you some of the pictures.
Okay.
We took Special Branch guys and taught them basic infantry formations.
They must. I mean, I understood that a lot of guys joined the Special Branch just so they
get away from
that. Yeah, that kind of stuff.
Right.
They
that's
must have been shocked when somebody said, "Well, guess what, fella?"
They were not happy campers. So
okay.
I think that's fair. But see, what that says is that the police chief in Kuala-Lumpur Province, the Special Branch chief, understood his weakness,
okay.
And he moved before the PRU ever came to him to try and develop that capability, so that when the crew came to him, he appreciated it. And they appreciated his respect for what they could do.
Okay.
And so that relationship in that province was the best of any in the region.
Okay.
I'm not saying it was great. But it was far
better. Did you actually run that unit?
What, the Special
Branch unit?
Yeah, we
ran them like as a crew, as a paramilitary
force.
That's
where it came from. I mean,
were they working out in the villages?
Yeah, it was doctrinally, if you will, patterned, created, trained, organized, and run as a crew unit.
And is this before or after the ceasefire?
This is before the ceasefire.
So that spanned the...
At the time, the Special Branch did not have operational or administrative control of the crew, and we needed that capability.
Yeah.
And because at that point we did not control the crew's pay, so we couldn't overcome the institutional rivalry between the S branch and the SB and the crew.
Now, I understood that the field police were supposed to be the action arm of the Special Branch.
Those guys were nothing more than corrupt cops.
So they were not there for the Special Branch to call on.
They were national police action arm, and they were lousy. In my area. Right. In my area, my experience with the field police is about all they did was shake down the merchants.
Okay.
Very, very poor.
Okay. And did they have public safety advisors?
Yes. Oh. AID people.
Yeah. What did you think of them?
Ex-cops.
Yeah.
Most of them...
people give me the most, say alcoholic, running away from bad marriages.
Cop and...
Warlords. Corrupt everything else.
Oh, yeah. The guy in Da Nang was one of the guys that used to set up the shakedowns of the merchants. American.
Really? Can you tell me who it was?
I don't remember.
Okay. But he was just involved.
Absolutely. This guy was up to his neck. He came out of that war probably wealthier than you and I will ever be. And, he can't prove it.
No.
And you make allegations. And one of the things that I learned over there, you got to be very careful when you're... When I was 23, I used to think that the world operate on a set of moral values which would attempt to uncover and prevent corruption.
Yeah.
So you'd go to somebody and say, the son of a bitch is on the take, and it was,
so
don't bother me.
Yeah, right.
You know?
So what do you want me to do?
What do you want me to do about it? Yeah, right. You know? I'm going to rotate out of here in 35 days. I don't want to be bothered. Give me a break. Who cares? And that was just
okay. So, but so field police is not responding to special branch.
Oh, no. I never saw in the 25 months I was there the field police run a field police operation.
Okay.
I saw them go out in the middle of the daytime and walk to a village that might be 150 meters off of Route 1,
okay.
Beat up people.
But they are not anti-infrastructure.
That's
strictly proved paramilitary type stuff.
The only people who are out there doing it, as far as I'm concerned, is proof. We're the only ones out.
Look, maybe if you don't mind, I'd love to write too fast anymore.
After the ceasefire?
Yeah, after the ceasefire. For instance, were you bringing people back to the PIC, and was the PIC still functioning?
Oh, yeah, we continue to interrogate. We continue to develop intelligence, and we continue to develop...
Did you still have penetration agents?
Oh, yeah.
Did you ever run penetration agents?
Oh, sure, absolutely.
It
was one of the most frustrating things in my life, because we knew that there was no ceasefire.
Okay.
We knew that the North Vietnamese immediately began repairing the road out in the western part of the region, or repairing the route, would be a better word, the infiltration route to accommodate larger supplies of military materiel to launch the next invasion or the next operation. We saw it, and we weren't permitted to report it.
Did you have penetration agents inside the VCI after the ceasefire?
Yes.
How many? To what extent was it functioning?
In some respects, how many is hard to say. I mean, I would receive information from any agent that the special police in the province was running, but I didn't meet with them all.
Right.
I mean, they had their code numbers, and I didn't care to be involved in that thing. I mean, I oversaw the operations. We called the intelligence from it.
That would be something that maybe Sherman would know more of.
No, I would know it because it was my operation, it was my province. But
okay.
I mean, I'm sitting here. I come into the office in the morning, and the special police guy might bring in 17 typewritten reports, you know, from X-15 and X-22, and you'd read it.
Were they X's?
It may have been. I don't remember, Christ. I remember they used to type them on this lousy onion skin that never held up, and put them together with pins instead of staples. You know, most of it was low-level stuff.
Somebody in a village,
somebody in
a province.
No, not in a province. Somebody in a village was, being commandeered to carry a transport to D.C., whatever. Another person was...
And these were the penetration agents?
Well, I wouldn't call... Let's call them informants. We had a few penetrations. We had one woman in the province that was close to a VC, a fairly senior ranking province official.
Okay.
And she provided us with some good information.
Because I've had region officers tell me, like, you know who Donald Gregg is?
Yeah.
Yeah, I interviewed him.
Yeah.
He was a region officer down at Three Corps.
Yeah.
I interviewed him. He told me when I got to, that was funny too. He called me up one day and says, hey, listen, George Bush is out of town. I got nobody to advise today. You want to talk? He told me that he got to Three Corps, Bin Hoa. He looked at the situation and didn't even try to mount penetrations. okay, that it was just too hard to get an agent inside the penetrations. They had informants, but penetrations were too hard.
It depends on what you call by a penetration.
Yeah, well, this is a problem in a counterinsurgency. Yeah. What's an informer and what's a penetration?
If are you asking, did we have a recruited VC cadre?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay.
Did we have a recruited VC cadre illegal? No. Okay? The VC cadre we had were legals. They had proper GVN documentation, but they were members of the party, and they traveled freely throughout the province.
Okay.
Lived in GV and controlled areas, but had contact with the illegals that were out in the bush.
Okay.
All right. I did not have an illegal in the bush.
In other words, it was more of a counterintelligence than a intelligence operation. If you understand what I mean.
Yeah.
You had an agent inside your own system who you had turned, rather than a functionary in the VCI itself at a province level.
We had a function. I mean, this particular woman was a common liaison cadre.
Okay.
And her job was to carry. That's why she had contact. Her job was to carry messages.
And she had been turned. Yeah, that to me is a penetration.
Okay. That's what we had.
Okay.
Did we have Captain Dook, who is the, you know, armed security chief for Big Dick District or whatever it is? No.
No. No. Okay.
But we did have that legal combo captain.
Yeah.
We had a couple of them. We had a penetration in a rocket company. We did have a hell of a good penetration in a rocket.
And that's important because you want to get rid of them people.
Well, it was
track their whereabouts.
We were able to. We got to the point where we were able to predict the number of rockets and the time they would hit with uncanny accuracy.
Wait,
into the Da Nang Air Base.
Into the Da Nang Air Base.
I mean, this guy was great. I mean, he would say there's going to be 4 122s that are going to be launched at 2 a.m. tomorrow, 2 a.m. the next morning, 4 122s would come in at the Da Nang Air Base. He was excellent. He didn't last too long, obviously, because we kept putting out the word because Da Nang Air Base had a giant voice.
What about your relationships with SOG?
Never had.
Well, come totally different thing?
Never had any contact with SOG.
Okay.
Never touched it. That's the swimming pool, top of the Duck Hotel, dining room. Courtyard.
Did you get down to Saigon also?
That's from... I really try to stay away from the place. I'm gonna find you that white elephant ship. These are all Christmas.
Oh,
that's the animal.
That's the a picture of a pic would be great too. The Hoi An pic would be nice.
I can find it. If I can have it. Can't be all the photos because I've got the
Was Flores there when you left?
Yes.
You don't know if he was there till 75, do you?
I don't know.
Here's a question for you. What kind of coordination did you have with the military, MACD military intelligence?
None.
Never.
No. Not I.
Not you.
Now, we did work with some Navy SEALs that were there. We did work with, let me be crazy. Every day there was a briefing at the headquarters, and we always had a representative go there. I never went there because it was bullshit. I had better things to do than listen to these guys talk about the incidents for the night before. When I was in the province, the province senior advisor tried at one point to put me under his control, and we got that problem resolved. I had access to the Tactical Operations Center at the province, so I would go in and see what they had and look at it.
Okay.
But as far as a established liaison, no, I never...
And you did not come under the control of the Corps' problem senior advisor. Did you ever hear of a CIO officer who did?
No.
Unless he was the problem senior advisor.
I never heard of that. Okay. You know, obviously you tried to be
cooperative
and coordinate and all that stuff, but...
Who was your province senior advisor there in Kwangnam? Did you even talk with the guy?
Oh yeah, he's a colonel, full bird colonel in the army. I remember we had one operation where we told him that he needed to get some people into an area because it was the rice harvest season in the BC.
Tax time.
Yeah, BC was coming down from the mountains, and he wouldn't believe us. This is an AHAM and a damn Hess system.
Yeah,
oh boy, this is secure.
So every time they got near 100%, they had to.
We went out and launched an operation, caused a hell of a mistake. We went out, launched an operation, and grabbed a guy and brought him back. This was one of the times we were successful when we grabbed a guy. And he identified for us the unit that was providing the security for the support cadre who were collecting the rice, the tax collector. And that he further provided this information. There's a 51 caliber Chinese any aircraft gun.
Any aircraft.
And he gave us the location. And the location was right up in this area. Right up in this area.
Mm-hmm.
Because everything near town quit was always bad. It was always terrible. It was up in this area. And they flew a recon mission over there and they shot the goddamn helicopter down. The proud senior advisor still didn't believe me yet that there was a problem there, right? They shot down the helicopter, killed a guy, and then they brought in the gunships. They brought in a, looks like a mosquito.
Oh, really? Oh, I know, just Sikorsky?
No, the gunships.
Cobras.
They brought in a Cobra, and my friend was in the back seat of it. And the pilot got shot through the head with a 51 cal. And that went in. This guy got out of it. The reason I know this, this was a friend of mine. In fact, it was a weird story. Anyway, that one went in. They brought in a third helicopter to get this guy out. And they had a hell of a battle going there for about an hour and a half.
Mm-hmm.
With gunships and Christ, they started bombing the place. And then his PSA, figured it wasn't an AHAM one anymore. But no, I had no control over me.
That's,
when I was out.
Yep, that's what I was wondering. Just your boss, and your boss was
my boss,
the deputy chief or the ops chief, or
The line of communication was supposed to go through the chief of ops to the deputy Roik, but in reality it went usually to the deputy Roik because the chief of ops.
And which of those guys was the chief of ops? I mean, I know which one was the deputy. I know who Flores' deputy was, but which one was the chief of ops? And what's the difference between their roles?
Tom, the Roik, or the chief of base was Al Seal.
Yeah.
The deputy was Marty Hawkins.
Yeah.
Chief of ops was a guy named Ed.
All I'm saying is, how did they divide up the responsibilities? I always thought that the chief of ops and the deputy Roik were the same job.
No.
What's the difference?
In theory, the chief of ops was supposed to be the guy who oversaw operations intelligence collection, PRU, counterintelligence, reporting, no, I'm sorry, not reporting. He was just the intelligence operations guy.
Okay.
The Roik, or the deputy Roik, was...
administrative?
Well, he not only, the operations guy not only reported to the deputy Roik, but the deputy Roik also had control over all the logistics and the administration of the base.
Okay.
He was the day-to-day executive officer.
Okay.
And then Roik was the guy sitting on top of the whole thing.
Okay.
Theorizing about the future, so to speak. The D. Roik was sort of the day-to-day business exec, CEO.
Okay.
The ops guy ran operations.
Okay.
Then there was a support guy, so forth.
Okay. What is a typical counterintelligence operation? Would that be the kind of thing that McCarthy and Snowden did to get to ferret out
all these guys?
DCs? Is that what a counterintelligence was, or is that also the same thing?
How much information have you gotten about how this all came about? I mean, this counterintelligence effort in I Corps, because the one that they ferreted out may not have been the real one.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I mean, they may have gotten the glory.
All I know is that Roger McCarthy is the guy who cleaned up I Corps, because he's the one who got Mo. I think it was Mao or whatever.
Tell you this.
Him and Snowden and a guy named Vance Vincent, who I believe was there before Sherman.
What happened was,
it must have been
out of sensitive sources comes a report about a net operational in Da Nang.
Mm-hmm.
All right, that's the beginning. Sensitive sources says there's a net operational, and there is a belief that the net has penetrated the police organization and the military, specifically 24 Corps?
Yeah.
24 Corps headquarters. We had clues, like there was a guy, one of the codes was B-16, the other code was B-17. They identified two captains that lived next door to each other.
Okay.
That's the kind of stuff we were working on, all right? They reported to a guy named H-40.
Okay.
Who turned out to be Tran Han. T-R-A-N-H-A-N-H. Tran Han. That's the guy. It wasn't Nguyen Van Han. It wasn't Vu Dan Han. It's Tran Han. Okay. There were some others.
Okay.
I think, looking back on it, what happened was that we began to create a counterintelligence operation there to get that net, to uncover the
net. Surveil these guys,
turn them, recruit them, neutralize them, do what we needed to do, because the source of the information was accurate, reliable is the way to put it.
Okay.
It was reliable, sensitive information. It's there, it's existing, we know it's operating. The North Vietnamese are calling it very, very valuable. They think it's big stuff.
Okay.
Which means we think it's big stuff.
Yeah.
I Corps suddenly gets its own CI effort.
Okay.
It's the only one I knew of in the whole country outside of Saigon.
Okay.
Nobody else had it.
Does that mean they're sending somebody down from Saigon to take over?
We had two officers, both of whom are still agency, so I'm not going to identify them, who were CI specialists from headquarters, assigned to do nothing but work this problem. Okay? So they're the
and
big...
This is long after McCarthy and his day.
This is during McCarthy.
Oh, this is during... Okay.
Because it continued when I got there.
Okay.
See, this is why I'm telling you, I think McCarthy probably got promoted, shined, and never neutralize the net.
Okay.
What happens is that
they start building a CI operation in Da Nang.
Okay.
McCarthy's the guy that starts. I think it was during McCarthy's tour there that the sensitive information is first published.
Okay.
All of a sudden, very important, they start building this net. They create their own index, their, you know, little RID index that Mr. McGahee talks about in his book. Well, I inherited one of those goddamn things. I went away from, I figured after getting out of it, 2 or 3 years of training, all of that, I'd be away from 3x5 cards. I walked into Nang and the first thing that hit me is about 500 names of cross-indexing. It's a big investigation, and it's gumshoe work.
Okay.
I think what happened is that McCarthy, the secret police, I mean, all of a sudden...
Is there a difference between secret police and special police?
I'm sorry, special police.
Is, but do you have... There
same
is
thing. Same thing as far as I'm concerned.
Okay.
The SP.
There is something called secret police, which is different than special branch.
No, this is special branch.
Okay.
Special branch. Special branch. All of a sudden, everybody's aware. Branch. All of a sudden, everybody's aware that the Americans are really interested in this particular ring. Special branches briefed at the highest level, and you know how that works. The Americans are interested in it. We got to produce for the Americans.
Okay.
See? And I think what happened is the special branch identified a number of low-level cadre and threw them to the Americans, particularly McCarthy.
Okay.
They arrested him. There was all kinds of arrests, and there was all, but nothing ever come of it. There was no real information ever developed.
Yep. Okay.
Which says to me they were nothing more than low-level informants, perhaps.
Mao, for instance, this guy who was head of the Da Nang PIC, and was uncovered as a VC penetration agent, was transferred to a job in Saigon. I mean, it wasn't like, you know, where he was kicked upstairs.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, it wasn't like he was shot, taken out, sent back, and shot or something. I mean, the guy was sent to Saigon. He got a better job.
Yeah, right.
And you know, I continued his nefarious conduct down there.
Oh, thanks. So I think what happened with that whole operation is that there was pressure to produce, as there is in any organization, right?
Results,
right. Gotta get results. We got all these CI hotshots, specially assigned. I mean, these are CI, pure CI guys that do nothing but hunt Russians, right? They're out there working on this, and, oh, Christ, all these assets, and, you know, anything you want, sky's the limit. I think McCarthy saw the, and I don't know Roger McCarthy, maybe the finest man that ever walked the face of the earth, but
you got the credit.
Huh? Anyway. The man had to know what was going to happen if he broke the ring.
Mm-hmm.
He broke the ring. The rest is history. Roger goes on to bigger and better things. I don't think that ring that they picked up was worth a bucket of Panther, whatever. Okay? It wasn't high level, didn't do anything. All right? We come along later on. I came up to take that operation over. That's what Seal. He said, I got this thing, there's been this partial breakdown. So I spent a lot of time studying what happened with the special branch side of the house. The special branch are now walking around saying, we are cleaned up. We're no longer, we don't have any more penetrations. We're free.
Okay.
Well, you know, that's crap.
Yeah, right.
I mean, that's a great deception operation. They throw us some low-level agents, and then they say, we're clean, and their high-level people continue to operate.
Yeah.
See? So... I was never convinced that McCarthy got him.
Yeah.
And the CI guy down in Saigon, when we got to talking about it, he wasn't sanguine about it either. You know, it just had too many classic examples of having had the wool pull over.
Did you ever get visited by anybody from Saigon who was in charge of a crude operation nationwide?
Never did.
Okay.
I never did.
No. There were people trooping through from Saigon occasionally.
Yeah. But they didn't come up there that often. We were the farthest away.
Did you ever hear of a special operations committee that operated out of the Saigon station, which went around and reviewed every officer in charge files for promising penetrations, which were then taken over and taken back to Saigon where they were nurtured?
No. I never saw that. I know of one instance.
That was a big deal for a while. Like maybe it got disbanded after a while.
One instance, the agency took over. Under its charter, it has the ability to grab any intelligence
asset
from anybody.
Yeah, right.
We took over one military intelligence asset that we thought that had a good potential that MSS was running.
Okay.
MI was fading out of the picture. They didn't have any money. And we just said, we're going to take this over.
Okay. Did you also have anything to do with what were called province observers? After the ceasefire, the 500th military intelligence group sent in military guys dressed as civilians who were called province observers, and they were supposed to report on what MSS and special branch were doing.
Yeah, they were assigned to, who the hell were they assigned to? What did they call themselves? They reported out to the building by the airport. What were those guys? Do you want another beer?
I think so. It's funny, it's hard to have just one. Oh, really?
He was the special branch liaison officer up in the Kuwait.
Mm-hmm. Like he had life. Been military, I suppose.
Yeah, I think he was a retired cop or something. He was. He liked a good life.
Yep.
I'm not gonna say he wasn't any good, but let's say he didn't have the enthusiasm that the rest of us had. He was one of these guys that thought it was a joke.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't important. And he wanted to stay over there. And his tour was up, his contract was up, he was due to be either discharged, rotated home, said sayonara. And he went down and he became one of those guys.
Okay.
And well, I don't know, you tell me the name, I'll remember the name, but they reported to,
Staffel?
Nah, it was, what the hell was that? What was the organization out of Tonsonu?
Oh, Defense Attaché?
DAO, wasn't it?
Yeah.
DAO. Yeah, he became a DAO guy.
Okay.
That's what you're talking about?
Well, yeah, probably.
He walked around and basically liaised.
Okay.
How you doing?
You know about what's up? Frank Sneff's book. I'm sure you've read it.
Yeah.
Decent. Have you read it?
I have not read all of it.
No,
I
should read it.
Parts
it's
of it.
Very, very. It's important to understand Vietnam. Sneff was one of these station guys who was briefing Polgar what was going on about the strength and numbers of the VCI. You know, so he was reading all the reports that you guys wrote up and sent back to Saigon.
Which never got out of Saigon.
Now, according to them, you see, he was one of the special group that would go around to the provinces and check out and see, double check on the reporting, you know, and stuff like that.
I never saw him.
Or any of those kind of people.
I never saw any of those people. They didn't come today very often. They didn't. I mean, we were a long way away. It was not a very nice place to be.
Yeah.
And, they didn't. We got rocket attacks, and there was a new regime there by 1971, 73.
Yep.
It was the country club set.
Okay.
Oh, there he is. Fred Cost.
The deputy.
No, he was the guy, he was the E9 that was worked on the drug stuff. Navy chief. Tough.
What's the E9?
That's the highest enlisted rank.
Oh, and he was the drug investigator. Okay.
Yeah. Pretty boy.
Was that out at the airport?
Yeah. Juice. Do you see that briefing? Did you come across that?
Let's see.
It's the old ISEX.
Huh, come down from Saxa. No, I've never seen that.
Gives you the idea of what they were telling us.
When, what's the date on this? Where did it come from? How did you get this?
Pull it out of the store, military history, I think it was. The Center for Military History.
Oh, okay. So you were down to Washington and down there.
Oh, yeah.
What's this slide on, slide off?
There was a slide briefing.
Okay.
I'm going to find you the White Elephant.
Yeah, and I'd like to see the map of Da Nang if you have it.
Got that shit somewhere.
I'd love to bring a photo of Vin back with me to show to Fu, because that'll really, really get him going. He's also got some books of mine I got to get back to him.
I bet you, I bet you where it is. I bet you it's all on slides. I bet you that's where it is. These are all slides. Yeah, I bet you that's where it is.
Anyway, get back to your CI operation. See, I thought McCarthy, I think you missed a boat, because the program's still going.
Okay.
And then this guy comes in and throws this notebook on my desk.
Right.
And all of a sudden I see B-16, B-17, H-40, and there were some other numbers there. And I go, whoa, holy shit. And then I can't get into the picture to talk to him. And then when I do try to talk to him, I got 5,000 little ears on the other side of the of the window. And I always had the impression that he, I got him alone once and he talked to me a little bit. It's the only time he ever talked to me.
You must have received substantial training in interrogation, I assume.
Received some. I was not trained as an interrogation officer. I was trained in interrogation techniques.
Okay.
But not, I didn't undergo a specific course.
I understood that the station had people who were in
trained interrogation
who would come out and do special cases and stuff. Was that?
That's correct.
That
they were.
Correct.
But I was not one of those guys.
So if there was something important that they thought was really important, they'd send out one of their experts, whom I understand most of were from the SR division.
I was trying to think, there was a guy who was out there for years and years and years and spoke full of Vietnamese and always spoke to all the high level. He worked out of Saigon. Maybe he was a published author.
Douglas Pike.
Pike? I don't think he was ever in Saigon.
Oh, sure.
Was he? Maybe it was him.
But he was not well thought of.
Those guys in the stratosphere.
Right.
And I didn't. I didn't. I've met more of those guys since I've come back, particularly since '84 when I got trashed, than before.
You got some support from people then.
Yeah, people showed up. I mean, Colby showed up, and David Atlee Phillips tried to help, and all of a sudden people knew who I was and what was happening to me, and it was a lot. It was nice. People would call up and say,
Phillips is the head of that association of foreign
intelligence
officers. He did.
Yeah, just died. Lung cancer.
So did Colby approach you himself? Was it like out of the blue that he came?
Right out. I've learned it from a newspaper report. He's from Vermont. Colby's born. No, not born. He went to school in Burlington, Vermont.
Yeah.
And he's got a little cabin up on the lake. Evidently, he saw one of the articles that was trashing me, and offered to help, and I didn't know what to do because I was trying not to
emphasize
it. And the last thing I needed was the DCI in Vermont, which would just underscore. And we initially ignored it.